Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is another After Dark episode that we recorded after the Pokemon episode, and once again, we do delve into a little bit of politics. If you are not interested in hearing anything about that, then you should probably stop listening right around when we bring up the NFL.
We should just get Wes to describe his BMs and then not tell him that it's going to be the intro to the episode.
He'd be fine with it. He doesn't shut up about them.
That's true. Fair point.
This game isn't going well.
What game?
Red Sox Tigers. I mean,
I saw they won, like, didn't they win 7-1 against...
Yeah, they beat Detroit 7-1, and then I think they beat them like 6-0. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a 3-game series, and they won the first two. So, you know, that's a series win that you take any day. But no, they lost today 7-2.
Oof.
Which they had a...
Who's pitching?
Jalen Beeks, who was a guy they brought up from AAA. Who was doing all right in AAA. Mm-hmm. And got a start in the majors and didn't go well. Because they finally did what they should have done. And benched Drew Pomeranz. They sent him to the DL. He got 3 months into the year.
Yeah.
2 months into the year.
Oh, how's Pedroia doing?
Back on the DL.
Poor guy. What happened? Injury? Another injury? Or
he's had some inflammation in the knee that he had surgery on.
Okay, I figured that's what it was. I was like, he had an knee or something else brand new, did he?
No, same knee, which is unfortunate. I don't know. I have a bad feeling. As soon as I heard that he had inflammation in his knee, and inflammation is usually a symptom, not a diagnosis of a thing.
You guys started the podcast without me.
Yeah, you're fine.
You sons of bitches.
You were pooping. I'm dying. We're just talking baseball.
Being all left down and all this shit.
Yeah. So.
Did you thoroughly examine your droppings?
I did. They were nice.
Okay, good. No blame.
nice and stool. Nice round little pellets.
Just a little bit. But,
yeah. But Drew Pomeranz, they sent him to the DL for, like, arm fatigue. When he had, like, a 6.5 ERA 2 months into the year. He needed to sit down. Stephen Wright... Their knuckleballer who was injured all last
comedian
year.
Comedian Stephen Wright.
That's also very dry comedy.
Who also throws a knuckleball for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
They gave him a start and he was great. He went
really?
Like
a knuckleballer too, huh?
Yeah. Well, he was an all-star 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then he got injured and missed a whole year. And it was weird because...
How? That's the most low-impact throw there is.
He got injured base running, of course.
Well, he fucking would, Stephen Wright.
He was brought in to pinch run in a situation where it made logical sense. Like he was an available player to use to pinch run in that situation.
What's pinch running?
When a runner gets a hit and gets on base, and you want to put a different runner in for him because he's slow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you got a big fat guy who's slugger is gonna, you know, good for hitting on base, but then you get him on the base and you're like, we do not want this big fat sack shit trying to run around these bases.
you can't like designate a pinch runner for him though, because once you bring in that pinch runner, my knowledge of pinch runner rules are a little fuzzy now, but I think it's if a big heavy slugger hits a double, get on base, and you want to put in a pinch runner, then that slugger is done for the game. Like once you have that replacement in there for him, sit down. You got the rest.
Oh, so that's
like
a decision you might want to make in like the eighth inning or
right.
something.
Right.
Oh, okay. That one up again.
So
wait, can you use him in the field, or he's just not able to hit anymore? Like he's done.
He's done. The game is he's
been take him out, bat, put a bullet between his eyes. He's
right.
Done.
Right. He's been replaced in that game. It's the same for a pitcher. I think is how pinch runners work. I might not. Mm-hmm. But
if you get relieved from pitching, you're done for the day. Mm-hmm. You cannot come back in.
Yeah, it's the same for like pinch hitting. Like if you have a guy who's not hitting well and you bench him and send someone else to hit for him, like the guy you benched is done for the day, and the guy who's replacing him for hitting is now in the game. So he hurt his arm pinch running, took a bad dive into a base, hurt his shoulder, and was gone for a year.
Yeah.
And now it was weird because like in spring training, like he didn't participate in spring training because he was still injured. He came back from injury, I think like a month into the season, maybe a month and a half. And it was strange because he was never part of the conversation with who's going to be part of the starting rotation. Because he was an all-star 2 years ago as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone treated it like it was a foregone conclusion. Well, he's a knuckleballer. He's not going to be any good. Like, and to me, it was always weird. Like, no, this guy deserves a shot to regain his job that he lost to injury. So he finally got a chance to start a couple days ago, and he was great. And I hope he stays in the rotation because he deserves to. He deserves it much more than Drew Pomeranz does at this point, because Drew Pomeranz has been bad.
Yeah.
But what they did today is they brought up a guy from AAA, like I mentioned before.
And bad is a relative term, right? Like, I mean, just for what's going on right now with the Boston Red Sox. Like, these are the...
If you have a 6.5 ERA, you're not doing well.
You talk about their problems like they're in trouble, you know? It's like...
It's just true.
I'm looking at the standings here. 43-20.
Yeah.
Pretty good numbers.
Yeah, 23 games over 500. So they could coast to the end of the year just playing like 500 ball, and I think they'd still finish with like 93 wins.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, I mean, the National League, the highest spread here is 37-25.
Mm-hmm. Who is that, the Mariners?
That would be the Brewers, in fact.
The Milwaukee Brewers are good. And Mariners
are American League. I switched to the...
Oh, National yeah, sorry. League. You said National
but,
League.
But yeah, you're right, though. They're doing really hot, too. They're 39-23. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's a lot of pretty good teams coming out of the AL.
Yeah, the baseball is a bit top-heavy right now.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of teams that are just garbage and a handful of teams that are really good. But like the Mariners... That's
a pretty big jump in between, like...
Houston is really good.
Yeah.
New York, Boston...
Yeah, Boston, New York are up, and then the next is like goes from 40-28.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Tampa.
Yeah, that's the East. So I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of like these teams in every other professional sport. You know, it's like Boston's really good, and the teams in their division kind of suck. Huh?
But when Pedroia came back, he played I think 3 games. He got a hit. Was playing pretty good defense, but you know he was kind of getting his timing back. I wasn't really worried about him hitting well. He's gonna hit 290 or 300. He's gonna smack 10.
So he aggravated that same.
And he hurt the same knee. And they said it was inflammation, which is not like that's a symptom. And like me and my pessimistic mind, the first thing I thought was, oh shit, his career is done. I just have a really bad feeling. You know, they're saying the things they should be saying. They're not that worried. They're being cautious. They're giving him time.
Mm-hmm.
But. I don't know. I just have a really bad feeling that he might be done.
Wait, is he just permanently on the DL?
I think they put him on the 10-day DL.
Okay. So, I mean, if it really is just minor inflammation and they're just taking it easy, playing it safe, knowing that they've got a 43 wins and 20 losses, that they can afford to not gamble in the middle.
Yeah.
And the part of the season where he would probably be taking games off in the first place, right?
Yeah. I don't know. He's got a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts has been on the DL as well. He aggravated his side. He should be back pretty soon. They're being really cautious with him as well because, you know, they're still winning. Because Andrew Benintendi has really stepped up. He's raised his average like 50 points in the past like 30 days, which is really great. JD Martinez is still playing awesome. Mitch Moreland is still really good. Even Jackie Bradley Jr. stepped up.
He's like, turning it around?
Yeah, he's...
You were saying his batting was just terrible.
It was, and, you know, it's still not great, but he's actually been racking up some hits.
Yeah.
I think he's raised his average to almost 200.
Well,
like, get above that
him.
Mendoza.
Yeah,
get above that Mendoza line.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to... I'm really looking forward to the point where they have, like, their solid, solidified field back. Because right now it's been kind of like this rotating... of
whoever
well,
you can
utility,
plug into a spot.
Yeah, utility players like Brock Holt and Devin Nunes. Blake Swihart has been getting more playing time. He's a guy that we've talked about in the past. Like the guy who was catcher but blocked by these other catchers. There are other two catchers who have actually been hitting more recently as well.
Okay.
One now has a batting average close to 250 and the other one's almost at 200.
Oh, man.
And they were both at like at 150, so I know I'm actually getting some production out of that.
Well, that's what the drama you were talking about last time was that they had to ditch their first baseman,
Hanley Ramirez,
mm-hmm.
to clear up a roster spot for Pedroia, who promptly went back to the DL.
Ugh.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, they...
Where is he? Is he still in limbo? Hanley Ramirez?
As far as I know, Hanley Ramirez does not have a job yet, which is crazy.
Maybe he is demanding a lot of money.
I guess he could be, but like the Red Sox are still on the hook for $15 million for him this year. Like, mm-hmm. it's like he's not going to get that money. He'll get that money. But so now, like, any team can try to pick him up for, you know, whatever they want to give him. They'll most likely only offer him, like, a veteran's minimum, which I think is, like, $500,000. So he'll get that plus what he's getting from the Red Sox.
Hey, money pay.
Yeah. But right now, as far as I know, he's not working anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I last...
He's bagging spoke, groceries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing something. When we last talked, I speculated that maybe the Mets have fallen off a cliff. They got a lot of old players mm-hmm. in their offense, and they are not producing. They've scored...
Oof. Yeah, 27 before. And 32. So they could still make something happen, but...
Yeah, they can still have an okay season.
They're 7.5 games back out of their own division.
Did they win today? Did they play today?
You know, I don't know if they played today.
Because previous to today, they had scored 6 runs in 7 games.
That's bad.
That is not good. So there's a lot of speculation if they're going to just have a fire sale and try to sell off their pitchers who are very good. Because they're not going to get anything from this offense.
Bad news, they had no hit or no runs today.
Oh, my God.
They didn't play today.
Oh, okay. That would have been so funny. 6 runs in 8 games.
You fooled me.
But yeah, I mean, like there's like
drama. Oh, that's ugly. Give it up a four losses in a row to the Cubs.
Mm.
4 game series losing to the Cubs. Ouch.
Yeah, the Cubs are good, but yeah, you don't want like the Mets. They you know probably shouldn't be as good as they had been playing, but you know.
How did they get a couple of like freak home runs or something, or just like. You gotta be bad
yep.
to not like be able to put up any runs.
They're
like that.
Probably whiffing at everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Red Sox lost today, which is unfortunate. But you know, they take 2 out of 3 from the Tigers, which is what they should do.
Yeah.
Then they got the White Sox, and the White Sox aren't very good either. So hopefully, you know, you take 2 out of 3 there.
Man,
as
these
well.
Goddamn Yankees just really nipping at their heels.
Yeah. Well, you know,
but there's like okay, yeah, it's like they're a half game. The Yankees are a half game back mm-hmm. from the Sox, and third team on the list here would be Tampa. They're 14 games back.
Yeah, this is going to be a 2-team race. Like,
yeah.
One of these other teams, Tampa or Toronto,
are
really going to have to turn it around in a big way to catch up at this point.
And one of these would have to get the wild card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't have both of these teams. No. Somebody has to represent each of the three, and then you get the two
yeah.
wild cards.
One of these two teams, Yankees and Red Sox, they're going to win, like, 95 to 100 games each. And one of them is going to be in a one-game playoff for their season. They're going to win 95 games. It's all going to come down to one wild card game, like one game.
I love it. That's
yep.
so funny. That actually happened in the NBA this year.
Yeah? They had a play-in game?
Well, no, it was the 82nd game of the season.
Yeah.
And the two teams that were playing, it was either take the wild card spot or not.
Oh, like
not the playoffs at all. It was
the number 8 spot?
It was like a fight for the 8 seed. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really cool because it's a college basketball game. It's a
yeah.
college, you know.
Yeah, win or go home.
Yeah, exactly. It was very cool. It was a fun game to watch. I'm trying to think who it was. It was, gosh. I don't think it wasn't Utah because Utah had to play Golden State. It was, I guess, whoever the 8th seed
mm.
was that, you know, Houston crushed.
Yeah.
But anyway, that it was just kind of cool to watch it.
So how's the rest of those shooty hoops going?
Yeah,
game 3.
The shooty hoops, yeah. So yeah, game 3 just happened, and it was a tight game. It was a tightly contested game, I think, for the most part. And again, one of these games where Golden State is down by like 6 at the half. They've had a lot of games where they're down at the half and then just demolish the third quarter against opponents.
Mm.
Yeah, so right now they're sitting pretty.
A common theme with them.
Yeah,
and that was also a thing with the Chicago Bulls back in the day.
Yeah,
of course, you have that comment
through. Putting them into a false sense of security.
I suppose. Let them think they're going to win.
Well, there's
yeah.
a lot of people that speculate what it is that makes them have
it's
these
fair to watch.
Crazy third quarter, just, you know, out of the gates, they're just blowing people away. And I really don't know if there is one real answer for it. I think that they have a lot of shooters that like to get into a rhythm. They also practice that a lot. They practice playing games as halves. Playing first and
mm-hmm.
second halves of games, you know, and I think frankly there is a fatigue element. Oh, teams are rusty when they come out of the half. I think they have their emotions. They go through it. The team is also just tons and tons of veterans. They've got like one rookie, Jordan Bell, and the rest of the team is like every there's got a mountain of experience. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, being in an away stadium or in an away building arena doesn't really rattle them that much like it would some other teams. Like Boston, just they are amazing at home and a terrible team away. And that's a lot of it, frankly, is because they are really, really young and they get rattled by a crowd. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I might digress, but yeah, so game three, it was like a 110-102 win for Golden State. And it did take some heroics, basically within the last few minutes. I think with maybe 3 or 4 minutes to play, Cleveland had a 1-point lead. Mm. But just some really clutch shooting. Curry had played terrible the entire game. He was like 0-for-9 from three. And then just nailed this beautiful dagger three kind of right in their face, which was wonderful to see.
So is the series over? Is this it?
Oh, yeah. So, well, I mean, no team has ever... I forget the stat that there's been like 100-something, you know, 3-0 leads. And zero have ever resulted in a win for the team that was down three. Mm-hmm. Only one ever went to seven games. And the vast majority were, you know, done within the first two of the next games.
Yeah.
And also keep in mind, like, even if, you know, Golden State were to cough up one against Cleveland, this would be Cleveland at home. So they've still got, you know, to go back to Oracle Arena for game five. Then they get another shot back in Cleveland. And then another game seven back at, you know, Oracle. And granted, if you get to that game seven in Oracle, there's been a weird momentum shift that must have taken place for this to happen. But
I mean, LeBron, years ago, I forget who they're against, but he brought back, they were down 3-1, and he brought back and won it.
That was Golden State.
That was
Golden State. And if you want to know who you should thank for that, it's Kyrie Irving for drilling the three that won the game. Mm-hmm. They were down one, and Kyrie put up a three that won them the game. I mean, granted, LeBron was huge that whole series, so LeBron was a really big factor in it. And that's what he's missing this game, because it is LeBron and a bunch of nobodies. Like, I mean, like, and Kevin Love's not a nobody. I think if Kevin Love were not playing in the shadow of LeBron, he'd be... The Magic would be thrilled to have Kevin Love. We would love to have Kevin Love. It'd be fucking amazing if we had him, but...
You know. Kevin, come to Orlando.
Hey, welcome here, man. I think he's all right. He's actually... did I tell you about how people want Fat Kevin Love to come back?
Yes. Yeah, we're talking about Fat Kevin Love.
I want Fat Kevin Love to come back. just give him some Florida barbecue and just like really really fatten the dude up and let him play center. I think that's what he wants to do. Hmm. I don't think he wants to be this stretch spread three guy that's got to deal with Kevin fucking Durant all game. Oh, and you want to know why they won? Kevin Durant put up 43 points and hit this just unbelievable, like, just, you know, like one of those amazing, like, Robin Hood archer shots from, like, from the middle of nowhere, just landing it perfectly. Beautiful, beautiful three he made to ice the game, essentially. Just a wonderful play. So, I don't know. It seems like a foregone conclusion. Everyone said at the beginning of the season it's going to come down to Golden State and Cleveland, but I don't think anybody expected it to be this depressing for Cleveland.
Even the Warriors fans are depressed.
No, I think the Warriors fans are thrilled. And also, we're really looking. I believe the next game is tomorrow. I think it's Friday. But this may very well be the last time LeBron James plays for Cleveland. It seems like he's probably going to leave. This team is in really, really bad shape.
He came back. He got him one championship.
Actually,
time for him to go.
Yeah. Let me look this up real quick, because I've been looking up. I've been thinking about the future of next season for the NBA, and I'm looking a lot about rosters and what the payroll looks like. So,
hypothetical question: as you're looking that up,
sure.
If LeBron James comes back and just takes total control of the series, they win four games in a row, and they win an NBA championship.
I think he still leaves.
Is he the greatest player of all time, though?
Oh, great of all time.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a
comeback victory like that.
Yeah.
Does it change the conversation at all?
I want to know what exactly happened to make all that happen. But
he got the other team drunk the night before.
He gave them all mono.
So
he gave them all mono. He went and made out with the entire Golden State team.
That's dedication to your team right there.
Well, so if you're talking about the 3-1 when they came back, a lot of people attribute that to happening because he intentionally antagonized Draymond Green. And Draymond
Green. How do you, like, kill his dog or something? Like, what?
Well, like, with intentions. Like,
his bird.
His bird.
So they have a rule in the NBA.
With a shoe.
If you're in the playoffs, once you get into the playoffs, if you get seven technicals, you miss a game. You can't play in a game.
Throughout the entire playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he, and then every technical thereafter, you lose another game.
Mm.
And Draymond is a collector of technicals. He just constantly yells and jaws and starts shit.
Side topic.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't need to derail you here, but technical fouls, you two technicals and you get thrown out of a game. Yes?
I believe, yeah.
Is that
two,
how
two technicals, if you have two technicals and you're out.
Okay.
A flagrant two and you're out.
Right, right.
Not two flagrants, but a flagrant two and
right.
You're out.
Can you, like, once you got that second technical, can they then stack them if you just keep on going off during that same game? Or is two the most you can get per game?
Oh, actually, they had a very weird thing happen where a player got called for his second technical and then technically would have gotten a flagrant foul, but he was already ejected from the game. So they couldn't assess him the flagrant foul.
So once you've been ejected, they can't.
He was just fined, like, 200 grand the next
Jesus
day by the
Christ.
League. Yeah, like, so
I'll
they
let him
got
punch
theirs.
Me, it's fine.
Yeah, no, but he got his in the end for being an asshole. But, once you are ejected from the game, anything you do thereafter, I think, is just, they're not going to call, they're not going to stack technicals
okay.
or do anything else to you. They're going to have the police drag you off the court. And then arrest you.
Well, that'd be so. The police are to drag off like a 6'7" behemoth. What's
totally.
I gonna do?
It could happen. Yeah. I mean, that's
if he was playing a game of basketball.
Anyway, all right. Sorry to slow you down, Draymond Green.
I had a point. Oh yeah, so Draymond Green throughout the whole playoffs, I think, and that he's become very aware of it now. I think he's only got three or four technicals. Only got three or four technicals going into this
in four games
into this series. No, but it's the whole playoffs.
Okay.
So you play the whole playoffs, right? And I think Draymond is just getting technical, playing his game, playing his fuck you, finger in your face kind of game.
Hey, you know what? If you don't get a couple, you're not trying.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, he is kind of the beating heart of the team in a lot of ways. So they feed off of his energy.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like if you're the backup center for any team, if you're not fouling out, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. And I actually do personally think this was a lot of home cooking. I think that the refs actually wanted a longer series. I don't think that they knew by doing this, by making this decision, they were going to tip it this far into the favor of Cleveland, but they totally did. Where LeBron, the entire game to that point, had just been picking on Draymond, fucking with him, just being annoying to Draymond, like clearly trying to antagonize the guy. And sure enough, and a play that I don't even think you should have given Dre a technical for, they get offsetting technicals. He gets one. LeBron gets one. Walking away with a smirk, knowing that he just banned Draymond Green from the next game.
Mm.
They win that game. Green can't play the next game. They lose that game. Suddenly you're staring at a 3-3 series. You know? Like, that was shitty. So, you want to know, like, how all this happened? Oh, and there's actually some great, and I hate to be like, the refs are bad. Like, the refs have been bad this series, but they've been equally bad to both teams, I think. Mm. The game last night, like, they showed Steph Curry's literal injuries. He's got these scratches down the back of his neck, all over his arms. His leg was bleeding, and he got no foul calls that whole game. He was getting his ass beat. Like, J.R. Smith, the guy that made that boneheaded move in game one, literally threw him down on the ground in front of a ref, and the ref watched it, went back to the game.
Jesus.
Like, not getting any calls at all in his favor. And it's not like he's this little scrawny, you know, pipsqueak on the court. He's like 6'3 dude, probably weighs like 200 pounds or something. He's a big dude. So, just unfair calls going his way. If you were to go back and look at that series, there's this guy, Tristan Thompson, who's playing like ass this whole series and this entire playoffs because he is ass. He's a terrible player. And, you know, he's like, no team they played against has he looked any good. But he was just, they let him go. The refs never called him for anything. Being way too physical, throwing elbows, hurting people, jumping over the back, which is about the easiest foul call you can make when a big man is jumping over somebody's back to get a rebound. You know, and he did it constantly. They didn't call it once. Now they've shown clips from this series, and the refs are actually calling it accurately. They're actually calling him when he tries to do that shit. You know, it's just, you look back on that whole series, and I think there's a lot of heroics from Cleveland, and maybe that's the most important thing, is that, yeah, they did come back down 3-1, but a lot of shit had to go their way to make that happen. And the real fucking capper, the real cherry on the top of the sundae there, is the fact that Kyrie Irving just embarrassed Steph Curry. Because 1 point lead, Steph Curry takes the ball down the court. Again, this would be a dagger clincher three for a series. Bricks the three. Kyrie comes back. And you think Kyrie, because they only need 1 point. They need 1 point to tie, 2 points to win. You think he's going to drive? No, pulls up for a three right in his face. Drills it. That's the game. And that's the series. And Kyrie has a ring for it. So, like, again, it's a wonderful play and a interesting series to watch in its entirety. But in my personal opinion, that 2016 season was kind of
a little suspect.
Yeah, and then they bring in Kevin Durant. So fuck the world, man. So I have the roster here in front of me right now, and they have. So the cap is $99 million, and they've already got $103 million on the books, and they don't have LeBron James. And these contracts include $25 million to Kevin Love. Probably worth it. I think if LeBron James weren't there, and that is your go-to guy, then he would seem like a much more important person than he does without him there. You have invisible George Hill making $18 million a year. Tristan Thompson, that waste of space, $18 million a year. That's more than any player on the Orlando Magic makes. And this guy is trash. Like, he should be making $3 million, $4 million. Bad contract.
I'll take that.
Me too.
I'll do it.
We're going to play for the Cavs, Wes.
We're going to play for the Cavs. I mean, they can't really do much worse.
Fair point. Like, getting the 2U on that kind of money is probably better than what Tristan Thompson's worth.
It just, we can go there and just foul people six times.
It just means they'd have $12 million, right? And what would they do? They'd spend that and $3 million more for $15 million on J.R. Smith.
What kind of foul is it?
Just cost them game one.
What kind of foul is it if I spear tackle somebody?
that would be a flagrant foul. If you pretended like you were going for the ball, maybe
they'd like, oops, and they just, you know.
You would get a flagrant one if you went for the ball on that. If it was obviously you wanting to spear tackle. A guy, who are you going to tackle in the NBA, by the way?
You're like 5'9".
I got this.
You could. I would love to see, like...
He's just like wrapped around someone's leg.
There's a couple
just dragging around the court.
There's a couple of point guards you could probably pull this off on. If you were to do
if I get the guy right in the center of gravity, come on, I can do this.
Spud Webster
throw my entire song at him?
They could swat you away.
I'm 150 pounds. It would go be straight like, at their center point of gravity.
It would be like Sherlock trying to do that to you, and you would be like, "Fuck you, Sherlock, out of the way." No. I just. If maybe they had you caught him off guard and they didn't have prepared and you literally got as fast as you could and you would dislocate your shoulder.
You might hurt them as much as you hurt yourself.
I would be more worried for you in that scenario than them. I mean, shit, I don't think I could do it. I certainly couldn't take some of these fucking power forwards and centers to the ground. If they knew I was coming at them and they were setting a screen and I was like, no,
why am I drop kick them?
Again, you'll push them back, and then they're going to punch your face off.
I think you're going about this the wrong way. What we need to do is engage in psychological warfare.
Oh, psychological warfare.
Find out which ones are sensitive about their mothers.
And when they're taking the mothers.
When they're taking free throws, you tie their shoelaces together.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's look at this fucking roster and look at how terrible these contracts are, right? You've got J.R. Smith making $15 million a year. Again, this is the highest paid player on the Magic for reference, and the Magic are not a very good team, but it's just what I'm going to use for reference.
That's why LeBron's going to go to Orlando.
We could easily do that. We could facilitate that trade if you wanted it. But he's not going to. I can't imagine.
Come on. Come to Orlando, LeBron, and try to fix us.
If you really want to fantasize about it, we're going to draft a point guard, most likely. This guy, Trae Young. And we have Aaron Gordon already, who could play probably a better power forward than a small forward, which is LeBron James' preferred position. You'd have Vooch playing center, which would be kind of cool. I think he'd probably be a better center than he is power forward. You would have an actually overpaid Bismack Biyombo, who you're just making. I was just making fun of earlier off air, but he's trash. He makes $17 million a year. If anything, he'd be the guy we'd unload. We'd love to get rid of that contract. He would be sort of the backup meat that could fulfill any power forward center role we want. We would be a good team. We would be probably the third or fourth seed in the East and get destroyed by
the 76ers.
And that's our team with... We would be... Actually, you know what? I dare say, I think we'd be better than Cleveland. We would be better than this Cleveland team. Yeah, actually, I
just
I would
like
say
swap LeBron from one, just change his jersey color.
No. Well, here's the thing. This payroll is $137 million. My God, this team is so far over the fucking cap compared to us. Mm. Right? Like, you're talking about us spending $85 versus them spending $135. That's a difference of, if I'm doing the math right, $50 million. LeBron James's contract is $30-something million. So we would have an extra $20 million of play money to throw around to get another star onto the Orlando Magic on top of him. Yeah, we'd be way better than this team. For real. I can't believe they're spending this kind of money on... I didn't even make my way through the list here. Do you even know who Jordan Clarkson is?
No.
He makes $13 million a year.
What an asshole. Fuck that
Kyle
guy.
Korver is their shooting coach, practically. He makes $7 million a year. Like, this is a bad, bad... overspending on trash team. Like, nobody here is worth anywhere near their money, except maybe Kevin Love gets paid this different money if he's not in the shadow of LeBron James. Mm. Kevin Love's worth $24 million to a team, for sure. But the rest of this team is playing like garbage. No way. Like, talk about wasted money. My God, the Orlando Magic with LeBron James and an extra $20 million to throw around. We'd be great. I mean, I still would probably take a team like a healthy Celtics team head-to-head, but that's about it. We would beat the Sixers for sure. Which is, again, that's the East. And probably, so I guess that's probably the big fun question is, like, where does LeBron go after this? Like, where is he going to wind up? And it seems like Houston's going to be the most likely destination.
Yeah.
Because, well, if they can get Chris Paul to take a team-friendly contract, which I don't know if he's going to do. But it would mean that they have a nice 1, 2, and 3, and they could probably just fill out the cheap big man spot with some other dudes. But yeah, you'd have Chris Paul at point guard, who is one of the best defensive point guards ever. You've got James Harden, who, while he is a ball dominant player in the same way that LeBron is a ball dominant player, he's one of the most efficient scorers in the history of the NBA. Like, really, really good. He's the first, and it's kind of presumed he's going to be the MVP this year. He's the first MVP that's ever made more free throws and made field goals.
That's fun.
Meaning he just generates fouls on opponents like nobody's business, which is actually something that LeBron is very good at too. He's very good at, LeBron is just like the B plus at everything. He's got the greatest skill set you could ever imagine on a player. You know, it's like he took the durability of a big center and like the mind and vision and scrappy play of a point guard, and then just put it all into a small forward's frame. Like, he really is the complete package as far as a dream athlete goes. He's not the best basketball player ever. I think you probably still got to say that's Jordan. But he is probably the best athlete that's ever played basketball. You know? So, yeah, he would fit in perfect with that team. You'd be top heavy on guards. He really has not played with other good ball handlers. You look at, if you watch them play, all of the setup is basically just get the ball to LeBron. LeBron brings the ball up the court and kind of sets the play and then does what he does. And maybe he passes it off to somebody. And then I think he suffocates the teams too. I hate to say it, but, you know, he's getting these crazy numbers for a reason. He's suffocating the rest of his team by not letting them simply run. Like, he could trust Kyrie Irving to run the show, because Kyrie Irving is a super fucking talented point guard. He doesn't have anybody in this who's who of goobers that can be trusted to do anything, you know? And again, Kevin Love is not a ball handler. He's not really there to do that. So he's the only one I really feel like defending on this shit. Hmm. But yeah, this is easily the worst roster in the NBA. And they were also, during the regular season, the second worst defensive team. If you're bad on defense, you're not going to be very good in the playoffs, generally speaking. But they have...
You want to make it to the finals, though.
They have a once-in-a-lifetime player, so... But yeah, and LeBron's made it to the finals 8 years in a row now, so he's doing something right. But this is, again, since the very first time he made it to the playoffs, I think was his second year in the NBA, and he got swept. And that team was notoriously made fun of a lot. I think people are prepared to say this team is actually worse than that team. You know, because, God, just if you were getting par value on your athletes and you were spending $137 million, you should be in the top 2 seeds, no matter what. Like, this is just dumb. Just really, really dumb when you break on it. Because I didn't know, I really didn't look at this stuff until maybe a few weeks ago, really, where I was like, how can these, all of these guys be this bad? Like, what did they choose to spend their money on? And then I look at the spreadsheet here of what they're actually paying these people. And I'm like, holy fuck. These guys are not worth this at all. And that's why LeBron, chiefly more than anything, he's leaving. They're $4 million over the cap already for next year, and they don't have LeBron James's contract in place. So that means they have to ditch assets, or at least, again, go crazy over the cap and into what is called the repeater tax. So if you go over the cap, you pay a tax. You go into the repeater tax, meaning you're repeatedly doing years over the cap. It sort of makes this, I don't know the exact calculation, but it compounds upon itself.
Right.
To where an owner may find themselves spending two or three times in taxes on this to the NBA of what the entire roster is.
Yeah.
And this is possibly where Golden State could find themselves in trouble, because Golden State just has too much talent. They're way too talented. And they've got, of course, they've locked in Steph Curry, who's one of the best played, paid players in the NBA, because they had him for so long on these cheap deals. That now he has a max contract, so he's making like 30 million a year, which is like the player cap, individual player cap.
Yeah.
And you've got Draymond on kind of a sweetheart deal still. Klay Thompson, because he is as true to them as, a nun is to God. Like, he loves Golden State. So he's on like year 7 of his rookie contract, because he keeps extending it and taking pay cuts so he can be a part of the team, even though he probably is like one of the 10 to 15 best players in the NBA. Again, a guy that the Magic would just be fucking thrilled if Klay Thompson said, hey, sure, I'll go to Orlando, I don't give a fuck. And then they've got Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's got to get paid. They've got Iguodala, who makes about $15 million a year, which is really, really good money. He's maybe worth a little less than that, but not much. Like, he's still really fucking good. So if the Warriors want to keep this, they get basically one more year of this. They get one more year of taking this lineup, this murderous lineup, into the NBA. And then after that, they're either going to have to look about restructuring contracts, which it sounds like Steph might be willing to do. He might be willing to be like, I don't really want to make $35 million a year. I'd rather make $25 million. Can we just extend my contract 2 more years and you spread the money I'm due over that? And then Klay is going to be like, I too do not want to ruin this great vibe I have here. Because, like, people talk about...
Yeah, how many championships have they won now?
If they can pull this off, which seems like almost a certainty that they will, they'll have won 3 in 4 years.
Yeah, why would you ever want to stop?
Yeah, because financially you have to. And then it would just be...
From a player's perspective, why would you want to stop winning? Why?
Kyrie did so. Kyrie left Cleveland because he wanted to make it on his own, which he was doing until he got injured. He was in that Celtics series. I think the Celtics would have won that for sure. It would be the Celtics and Golden State right now. It almost was the Celtics and them. Like, that came down to game 7, and they won by like 5 points, so... Gosh. So LeBron's destinations. I really feel like if he is probably going to leave, I feel like he has to leave this horrible scenario.
Minnesota. Really?
Ooh, that'd be interesting. Who would you like? You can. There's a lot of teams that can make a play for him. But it means that they've got to either ditch current assets. There are very few teams can basically straight up absorb him. I think the Sixers are actually in a great shape to do it, because they, again, have a lot of young talent. Because of the whole tanking thing that got their GM banned from the NBA. because of that, they've... by the way, their newest GM just got fired today. Because he was using burner accounts to trash his own players.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Like, burner Twitter accounts.
That's nonsense.
Yep.
So to what end? Like,
what did you accomplish?
What was the point of that?
I really don't... I don't know what he thought he was accomplishing. I guess maybe he was trying to... get in the heads of his own players to tell him to, like, shape up or perform differently or leave.
Does he want to keep losing?
I didn't look into
the tanking?
Yeah. Or just trying to, I think I heard somebody say that he was trying to run one of the players out of town. Just wanted to get rid of him because he's a bad contract. Just trying to make him quit.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I get it. I don't want to justify
it. Being a bully was the way to do that.
All right. Yeah, yeah. And you know they read their Twitter accounts. Yeah. Kevin Durant actually got busted last year for posting he thought he was under one of his fake accounts. And it was a very honest comment. It was the kind of comment he couldn't make, but you know he meant it. Where the question was like, so why did KD have to go join this team that's already a super team? Why couldn't he just do it on his own? And he's like, and again, thinking he was on a fake account, thinking he was on one of his other accounts, replied, and it basically said something like, I just couldn't win with these guys. I just couldn't do it. It wasn't going to work out there, and he had to move on. And that was posted from Kevin Durant's official Twitter account in the thread. So everyone instantly knew he just forgot to change accounts. And yeah, it was
I didn't realize that was a thing that people did, create fake accounts so they could actually be honest about
Get his message out there. I'm sure this was an account that he set up and then intentionally followed and made it like a big thing that it was, you know, like an account he knew closely or maybe someone tied to him. But at any rate, yeah, like he threw that out there just to be like, hey, yeah. And again, that's something he brutally honest wanted to say but couldn't, and it wasn't mean, but it was the truth. He just felt in his heart of heart that he could not win a title in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook. So he left. He's gone. And now he's got one and maybe two titles. So, again, because the first title they got was without Kevin Durant. So,
right.
It's big stuff.
So, do you think that basketball surpasses football as the number one sport in the United States?
At the rate we're going, I think it's probably going to happen at some point. I think basketball is a more cerebral product, a more entertaining product. The games are shorter. It's more immediate action. You see the faces of the players. It's at times a violent physical game, but it's not violent enough to where people are getting like concussions constantly.
Oh, the NFL's taking a beating from all sides.
Yeah.
Like, there's just more spear tackling in NBA, I think.
That's the one thing that'll turn it over?
Yeah, you know, I think that'll be it.
To make all the players wear helmets.
And the NFL is like still got a long way to fall before they go to second place. They're still very, very far ahead in American sports as the premier sport. And I love football. I don't want football to go away. I like baseball, football. But I just like sports personally. I love sports. But yeah, I think that the NFL is on a decline, and I think there's a lot of factors leading into that. I think the anthem protest is overstated as terms of actual impact on literal eyeballs watching the game. I think that people are lying. I think a lot of these people are lying when they say they've abandoned football. I think they were either casual fans in the first place, or they're still secretly watching the game.
Right.
They just wanted to... Some pollster asked them a question. They're like, yeah, fuck liberals. Fuck black people. I'm going to watch my football. I'm going to make those black people play for me.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's this subversive racism behind it. And I think they want to make it about patriotism, even though it is not at all about patriotism.
Nope, sure isn't.
The
president you love so much doesn't know the words God Bless America. Doesn't know.
I saw that. Isn't that embarrassing?
He's incapable of being embarrassed, but he should be.
Fucking charlatan.
Yeah.
That he would wrap himself in the flag and challenge someone else's patriotism. Hold this giant event, call military men of arms to his back to watch him fuck up the national anthem or God Bless America.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were to put me on the spot, you know, I don't think I know every single word of God Bless America.
But you're not saying people should be fired for not standing for the anthem.
Yeah, I'm not the goddamn president. I think one of the first things that I would do if I were the president would be like, what are some of the customary things I should fucking know?
Or if
the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you're just a self-aware person saying like, hey, they're going to sing this song, I don't know it, I should sit the fuck down and get off camera.
Yeah, and why didn't...
What are you doing?
Why didn't the staffer be
fucking
like...
fucking asshole.
Hey, Mr. President, can
you
just...
Can you sing this song? Do you know it?
Do you know the lyrics to this song? Because it could be bad if you don't know.
Here, give me your hand. I'm going to write it on your hand. Just
teleprompters. Give him a fucking teleprompter.
Ugh. And you know what? The best part I heard was that they only had 10 players that were on the Eagles that were going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them with basically vendettas that were going to be like... confront him face to face and say like... Probably ask him very blunt questions like, why do you think a black American is less than a white American? Like, why do you devalue us? Why do you hate us? Why do you contort our argument to be it about patriotism when it's not about patriotism? Like, did you know an NBA player literally this past week was violently arrested by the police off by cops for literally going into a convenience store to buy something and then coming back to his car. He did nothing wrong. No, I think that he, they said that he parked diagonal across two spots because he had like a $200,000 sports car, you know, in an empty parking
lot. And then that deserved an arrest?
Yeah, they show up to the scene and start questioning the guy, and they got it all on video camera stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, they're... I mean,
it's a dick move to take up two parking spaces, but...
He didn't resist...
Did it merit the reaction he got?
No, he didn't resist arrest either. That's the thing about it. He was basically asking why he was being detained. Was his big, and the question that we should all ask any yes. police officer that stops us for any reason is like, am I being detained? Why am I being detained?
Mm-hmm.
You know, should know those questions immediately when talking to anybody that could potentially charge you for a crime. You know, they drag him to the ground. His face is all bruised up. They're like literally stepping on his leg. You know, it's and the what they're recording, because they're all recording this, like it's all on camera. And the stuff that they say is just, like, so clearly they're antagonizing a black man because he's got a nicer car than they do. And they've got a government-issued vehicle.
God damn it.
Yeah, it's terrible. So, if them kneeling is about injustice within the justice system towards black people, an athlete literally proved it while our president is up there not knowing the words to God Bless America.
Mm.
Like, it is the kind of irony that... a comedian would dream of writing, like, but it's real, and it's so fucked up. And you want to know what's the best part? He's going to get subpoenaed for this, because one of the NFL owners said that they intentionally wouldn't hire Colin Kaepernick because they were worried about retaliation from the president, or from Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So now Donald Trump basically has to say, what communication did you have with this NFL owner? Did you actually tell him that you were going to do this? So they actually he has to sit down and be deposed under oath.
I'll believe that when I see it.
No, this is absolutely going to happen. And of all of the things that we're thinking that he's going to end up being deposed about, it's like this race to the finish line of who gets to depose the president first. Is it like going to be him? Is it going to be Stephanie Clifford?
Everybody.
Is it going to be this woman on The Apprentice who's coming out that's saying that he sexually assaulted her? Will it be Robert Mueller himself with his grand investigation that's supposedly going to bring down this entire corrupt empire? Like, who the hell knows? We're at a really weird time, and it's just not going fast enough.
I actually didn't intend to get us into politics here, but...
I'm still going. It's me talking.
It's so frustrating because, like, the NFL, and I actually didn't bring up the NFL to talk about the anthem, but...
I took us down this rabbit hole.
The whole anthem bullshit, like, you can't, yeah. like... The thing is, if you are protesting... There shouldn't be, like, this is the appropriate... Like, the people you're protesting against shouldn't be able to tell you, you can't protest here. Like, what if Martin Luther King were setting up his sit-ins in people's restaurants and people came in and said, no, no, this isn't the right place for you to protest. Go have a sit-in in your house. Like, what the fuck good does the protest do then? If people can't see you do it, if you're not being disruptive with your protest, then it's not a fucking protest.
Yeah.
Like, you're just a guy who's mad about something. Like, protests are meant to be disruptive, and
yes.
we do them we do them peacefully in this country.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to run people down with cars while you're protesting, but
true.
When you're protesting peacefully,
but they're fine,
you do it wherever it causes disruption.
Yeah. And I think that's the crux of the argument there, too, is that you're not hurting anybody by doing this. There's no law that says you have to, and we don't want a law that says you have to.
No.
That makes us fascists.
Sure does.
You know, that makes us a totalitarian state where we have to get on our knees and kiss a ring or something.
Right.
And that's bad. We should be allowed to take a knee. And one of those guys that, one of those fucking White House interns literally took a knee. Because, of course, they couldn't get actual Philadelphia fans to be there because, you know, no one's going to want to go there. So they actually just took all of the interns and made them go out there while Trump was doing this thing, and one of them took a knee. This is
so funny. Good for that person.
So, yeah, I love it. That's awesome. And also, again, this goes back to the fact that there was an arrangement made in 2009. This is the only thing that matters about this. In 2009, there was an agreement that was made between the NFL and the military that they were going to, when the national anthem was performed, they would trot the players out and make them just be there. Just make them be physically present for it happening, right? That was the agreement. And the military paid the NFL, I think it was not that much money, it was like $12 million, but in the grand scheme of how the NFL makes their money, it's the worst possible way to do that, because of course someone's going to take a stand and have make a political message about it. You know? And before that, if you watched a football game in 2008, the players came out after the anthem. And the NFL, rather than simply saying, you know, let's just go back to that, we weren't hurting anything, here's $12 million plus interest, military, have the money back. That's on us, our bad. We shouldn't have been forcing players to do this. That's the logical, reasonable thing someone that is genuinely patriotic towards the nation would say, is that you can't force somebody to engage in what is essentially ceremony, pomp, and circumstance, just all that bullshit. You know? And now what their rule is that all the players have to go out there, have to stand, and if they choose not to stand, the players don't get fined, the owners get fined. Which means if you're an owner, I mean, think about that as in the mentality of the owner, who doesn't even care in the first place. You're like, wait, oh, no, I'm getting fined. I think I'd rather just not have a player on a team if they are going to start accruing millions and millions of dollars of fines. I could have more fines because these guys are refusing to stand than the actual contract that they're playing for my team for. I don't want anyone's going to rock the boat. Any of you Colin Kaepernicks out there are just not welcome on my team. And that's precisely what the NFL wants. They want to blacklist all these players, no pun intended. They want to make it so that they can't engage in this protest. And this is their way of doing it, making the owners pay. And to their credit, the New York Jets owner said, I will pay up front any fines. If anybody wants to take a knee, I got you covered. But that's one of 32 owners saying that, you know? This is just, couldn't have been handled any worse. It's almost as though this was designed to inflame the debate even more. To make this even bigger than it already was. And, oh, my God.
It's crazy.
And what is the NFL? Shouldn't we be caring about whether or not they're fucking throwing touchdowns?
Right.
Or something? Shouldn't we be caring about, like, the fucking sport itself?
Yeah,
like,
the game hasn't even started, or are we more focused on that?
Yeah.
It's
unbelievable.
It's crazy to me. Like, this is the conversation that we're having. Like, is it a protest, or are they being disrespectful? Like they're...
All right, national anthem's over. Let's see what's going on this weekend. NCIS.
Uh-huh. So we live in a country where Black American mothers and fathers have to teach their children, if you are pulled over by the police, if you are confronted by the police, this is how you act. Otherwise, you might, there might be violent repercussions if you do not behave a certain way.
Yeah.
And whether or not people are kneeling at a song is a fucking bigger problem. Like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Like, children are having to be instructed how to interact with police officers. People are there to protect them.
I think they live in their bubble and they don't see that. The people that are really upset about the patriotic element of these guys taking a knee, they're just saying, ooh, don't make me uncomfortable. Don't make me feel white guilt. You know, don't make me experience that. I mean, can't these guys just get arrested and quiet and leave me out of your black troubles? You know? And that's just a terrible approach. It's just, it doesn't help anything. And it's clear there is a systemic problem that needs to be addressed.
Yep.
And they'd rather just claim that these people are unpatriotic and therefore less than American, and that they are the true Americans because they don't have that problem with the cops. And I was actually, so Stephen Colbert, when he had his Colbert Report, he used to do this bit whenever anyone would bring up race, where it was a setup gag, where he'd be like, I don't see race.
Right.
But I know that I'm white because, like, because I've been to a Kingston Trios concert or something. Or it's like, I know I'm white because I've seen the Eagles live. You know, or it's like, but one of my favorite ones was like, I know I'm white because the police officers call me sir.
And not sarcastically.
Yeah, exactly. So it's true. I think until, you know, one of them really confronts the inherent racism of the LEO and the America, they're not going to really get it. So,
well, I don't think this is football's biggest problem. I think football's biggest problem is
that it's a very violent sport.
Is very violent, and there are a growing number. I think the statistic now is like 48% of parents are saying that they would not let their children play football.
Yeah.
So, football's biggest problem in the years to come is not going to be drama around a sing-along time. It's going to be the dwindling talent pool. And it's not like
these talented athletes, these kids who like want to go on play professional sports life are going to play sports. They're going to go on to play other sports. Instead of playing football, they're going to play basketball and baseball. And God forbid, soccer.
Well, then what young people will engage in a blood sport like this are sadly poor minorities from the South. Hmm. When you look at that team of athletes, you're going to see more black people. You're going to see more poor people, and you're going to see more people from the South who have been subjected to racism their whole lives, who are now being told by their owners that they have to, you know, behave in a certain way to their liking. There is a subversively racist element to this that is inescapable. It's terrible. And I think maybe you'll have those parents that say their kid can't do it, but maybe we'll warm up to the idea when they're 15 or 16 or older. That maybe they can start playing a sport like that when they're more fully developed.
Maybe, but I suspect that the problem is going to be, as the talent pool shrinks, it's going to grow for these other sports. And, you know, you start having, like, these more charismatic talents going to sports where they'll get more actual face time. You'll actually be able to see their faces.
Where you're like, Jordan Clarkson could be a tight end in the NFL if you probably want it. And
Mike Trout could be
your career.
Mike Trout, like half the fucking Yankees could be linebackers in the NFL. Like, those guys are huge.
And they'd have a lifespan in the NFL of maybe 3 or 4 years, and they would make probably 15 to 20%, I bet you, of what they make.
There's so much.
Isn't that where, like, basketball players go to? They go to baseball when their career's over? Isn't that what
Jordan took a year off if they fucking could. I bet LeBron wishes he could take a year off.
You want to get into the conspiracy on that? He probably got caught gambling.
Oh, yeah?
And they told him that they had to take a year off.
Hmm.
Rather than ban him
for life?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what people speculate, because he's notoriously had a gambling problem.
Because what's his face? The guy from the Gears.
Tim Tebow.
He's involved with baseball.
No, he's doing poorly. He's going to crash and burn. It's going to go very, very well.
Baseball's where athletes go when their career just dies.
I'm going to see, like Mike Trout could be, like, fucking linebacker in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
That there's going to be a growing talent pool in these other sports because these are the sports children going to grow up playing.
I'd love to know how many concussions Mike Trout's had. I'd love to know how many season-ending injuries he's had.
Hmm.
And I'd love to know how much he makes a year.
$30 million minimum. There is so much money in baseball.
See?
Next year, the free agent class of Bryce Harper is going to be a free agent. Right now, he plays for the Nationals. He's a very good player. He could play any sport he wanted. He's a great athlete. Yep. There's speculation that he's going to be the first player in baseball history to get a $400 million contract.
Ooh, that's big money.
There is so much fucking money in that sport, even though I think it's the number three sport in terms of popularity in the country now. Like, there's people make hand over fist money in baseball, and you can make in a career, you can make hundreds of million dollars playing baseball over the span of 12, 15, sometimes as many as 20 years if you're super talented.
Tim Duncan had a 20 year career.
Right. Or you
can play. Kobe Bryant had a 20 year career.
Or you can play football and have a career ending injury your second game.
Yeah.
And make $40,000.
So if you ever want to see, like, one of the saddest short stories in the NFL. Look at a guy named Marcus Lattimore. He was a running back for the Gamecocks, South Carolina Gamecocks. As a Florida fan, watched him a bunch. The guy was a real horse. He was very, very good. And I think in his maybe first or second year in the NFL, and this guy was going to be like a stud running back. He was going to be a huge deal and was expected to if he could have stayed healthy. Has one of the most gruesome leg injuries you've ever seen. Like, the leg is still technically attached to his body. Barely. It is horrifying to watch.
But by skin.
Yeah. Just like, you could see the most, it was a compound fracture inside of a compound fracture. Just his whole kneecap was just demolished. He didn't walk for 2 years.
Jeez.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's his career. Yeah. He got 2 years into his career. And he could barely walk, you know? And his leg will never really work again.
Mm.
You know, and now he's a coach. Of all things, he's coaching the NFL again.
He's
teaching kids how to not kill us with their legs.
It's unbelievable. Like, cause it's all we know. It's all the guy knows. You know, I'm mm-hmm. sure it's like, what else am I going to do? How else am I going to make money? This was my life. I was born and raised to do this, and I had this one injury. It's like,
yeah. And then I brought Mike Trout up a couple of times, but I think it was him that was recently talking about, because the draft, the baseball draft just happened, which is super dull. But he had to make a decision to play, I think when he was like 15 or 16, he had to make a decision about what sport he would dedicate most of his time to, like football or baseball. And he chose baseball for a number of factors, injuries definitely not being the least of those.
Yep. I know if it were me and I was one of those top flight athletes and I knew I could theoretically have a career in any sport, I totally would go baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's got highest ceiling as far as pay, least amount of, you know, freak injuries. I feel like even in the NBA, you have a lot of bad injuries. You can tear to ACLs are torn constantly.
Yeah.
I feel like in baseball, I'm not saying they aren't athletic and I'm not saying they're not running around, but, and I'm sure you get ACL tears, you get knee injuries like Pedroia, but you know, I feel like you can have a much longer, healthier career in that sport.
Yeah.
And just
you got to play a lot more games. You got to do a lot more travel.
And you know, the downside of baseball is you do have to work your way up through a minor league system. And sometimes, you know, a kid is drafted when he's 18. Sometimes he's playing Major League Baseball by the time he's 20 or 21. In a super rare case, like 19.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most people are coming to the major leagues. They're 23, 24 years old. So you do have this period of time where you're not making that much money. And you're, you know, getting on buses and you're going and touring around playing these other minor league teams. And it's not glamorous.
Yeah.
So you don't get that instant, you know, you've made it to the big time. Unless you're one of those rare talents.
Unlike your rookies in the NBA. Who are just like 19, 20-year-olds.
Right.
Just like like Jason Tatum, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable talent.
Yeah.
He actually, interestingly enough, he came 1 point shy. 1 point away from setting the rookie record for most points in the playoffs.
Who's got the rookie record for most points in the playoffs?
Oh my god, I feel bad for forgetting. It was an all-time great. I want to say it was maybe like it was Kareem, maybe. Just one of the legends. I wish I had the number in front of me, but and then the big thing is like Jason Tatum took 22 games to do it. The one that holds the record did so in 10 games.
Oh jeez.
So yeah, okay. Just fucking crushing.
So,
but at any rate. Yeah, I think we've been going for a while.
Yeah.
Are we kind of...
Should we pull the plug? We're done here?
Yeah, I mean, women's softball happened. And Florida got fucking robbed.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know. Like, are they playoffs? That was happening?
The Women's College World Series, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's over now.
Oh.
I don't want to say who won because they're the worst team ever. But no.
but Florida didn't win.
So let me put it to you this way, right? So your team... So it's the good guys and the bad guys. It's the Red Sox and the Yankees, right?
Okay. It's very clear who the bad guys are, yes.
Yeah. So the Red Sox, in the first inning, put up 2 runs.
Okay.
So, second inning, put up a run.
Okay.
Third inning, put up a run.
I like where it's going so far.
4-0, huh?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're fucking crushing it. You're doing good, right? So, it's now the Yankees' turn to bat. Two outs. You got the bases loaded. There's a pop fly, they had one out. Pop fly, out with the catch, throw it home, tag out should have ended the inning, right?
Right.
Bad call. Runners get on base.
Oh, shit.
Or the person that hit got on base. Now you have...
Got on base?
You have now, the two runners stayed on base, so you now have 2 runs and then you batter up.
Shit.
Next batter up. Home run. Tie game. Next batter up. Home run. Next batter up. Finally thrown out.
God damn it.
Yeah. One bad call.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah. One bad call.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing. Like, the runner that got home clearly tagged out.
Mm.
Clearly tagged out at the plate. And the ump missed the call.
Time for the robot revolution.
You know, and that wasn't the end of the game for Florida. They got basically relegated into the loser's bracket.
Sure, you can say it's just a modified howitzer.
Yeah. The pitch about 5,000. Oh, I feel so bad.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Oh, and like the Lady Gator baseball is, or softball is just like the pinnacle of college softball. But they're a historically great team. They're like, you know, like UConn's women. Not that great, but like, you know, UConn women basketball is regarded as the best basketball
team. No, but I'll take your word for it.
You guys don't know that?
No.
It's probably like the winningest coach in any like not professional, but any major sport in America would be UConn. Okay. UConn's women basketball, they just crush every single year. They never lose. And Gino Auriemma is their coach, and I think he's got one of those ungodly records of like, you know, when it comes to those tournaments of being like, well, like, you know, like 150 wins and 3 losses or something like
and
that.
And I'll always remember those 3.
Yeah, I'll talk to him. Oh, they will. I'm sure every single one of those losses hurts.
Because he doesn't remember win 79.
Yeah.
Or loss number 2.
It's just they
he has tattoos on him, just like never forgetting as the dates. It's just a line on it.
His old, saggy 70-year-old skin.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, I'm speculating on the numbers. I wish I had them in front of me, but like, yeah, Gino Auriemma has coached UConn for like decades, and he basically wins every single year. He and his UConn teams win every single year. They just are the best, you know, exporter of talent of women into basketball. Fun fact.
Watch, you see a movie?
No, I haven't seen any other movies. I haven't seen it yet. A movie that I've never seen. I bought it the other day because it was on. It was like $10 or whatever. Okay. I bought it. I bought Blade Runner.
Oh, nice.
Final Cut Edition.
Oh, that's the best one.
Yeah. Never seen the movie. Haven't seen it yet, but it's sitting on my table. So I'm going to watch it at some point.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoy it. It's a great movie.
Never seen it. Maybe we can have a movie night.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Neither of you have seen Solo. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen Solo.
No, no one in America saw Solo. Oh, yeah.
I want to. I don't know. I like it.
I have no personal feelings toward the Star
Wars franchise.
Oh yeah, it bombed real hard.
That's not good. For Gary Allen, he had an acting coach on set, I hear.
Mm-hmm. Is that not a thing that people do? I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean,
I did see a movie.
It seemed odd.
It sounds odd. Maybe it's not though.
I think it was a Penny Arcade. That's what I'm referencing. Mm. I think I'm referencing a Penny Arcade comic.
So I did see a movie, and it's an older movie. Not all that old. It came out like 6 months ago. Game Night. I'll briefly just. Talk
oh
about
yeah.
That. It way overachieved in my mind. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it kind of looked like a hokey.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
have you guys seen it?
No.
So it's black comedy because it's very, very violent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sneakily a horror film too, in a weird way.
Right.
Yeah. It's you know this setup of like one of those. There's like this staged kidnapping that everyone at the party is supposed to take part in, but it ends up being that. That was a real kidnapping that just happened, and they're all kind of like trying to get the clues, but really it's that, and that's what the first like you think that's what the whole movie is, but it's really just like what the first half hour of the movie is, because it sort of stacks these preconceptions you have of what this movie is supposed to be, and then constantly just fucks with you the whole time about what's really going on the whole within this game that's being played. I mean, kind of like do you remember David Fincher's The Game? With Michael Douglas and Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Like, how serious that was. Like, it is that at times. It is that, but just with slapstick. It's very strange.
Okay.
It's got this horror vibe that it seems to revel in. It's almost like a thriller with, like, a monster film where someone's chasing you and trying to kill you, like... Very, very unique take, I think, on this style.
So clearly, the stakes are much higher than like in a typical.
This is
the
movie Game
comedy.
Night.
Yeah,
I thought it was supposed to be a comedy. Does that sound like a comedy?
It's a black comedy, so it's kind of like a comedy.
It's a Hangover crossed with A Quiet Place.
Ooh,
I did enjoy Quiet Place.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it's like a Hangover crossed with like High Tension. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
No, I remember that one.
Oh, it's just, again, a violent thriller. yeah, it's
was
cool.
It good?
Cool cast. I thought it was great. The comedy is really, really funny. The characters are great. And this is very suspenseful. The twists, I really didn't see coming. They had a lot of really clever, you know.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I see like that, that sort of lineup, who was it? Was it Steve Carell? And
Jason Bateman is in it.
Oh, that's right.
Rachel McAdams, they play the main couple. Michael C. Hall, I have not seen him do much lately. I think he's mostly been on stage. Recently, he's a third act appearance. He kind of has a great show at the end of it. The other actors, I really don't think I remember their names all that well. I mean,
is Jason Sudeikis in that one?
No, you'd probably recognize the names if you saw them, or the faces at least, certainly if you saw
them. Will Arnett?
No, none of these guys.
Hmm.
I think Rachel McAdams is probably the biggest actress in it, and Jason Bateman's the biggest actor.
Not even like Jessica Chastain, she's in everything.
She is in everything. Maybe she was there. I don't know.
She was like wearing a mask or something.
Yeah. Oh, like even the soundtrack. So Clint Mansell is the guy that did the soundtrack. And if you've ever watched a lot of John Carpenter movies, you know how he has like very like eerie synth sounds? That is the soundtrack for the movie.
Huh. Okay.
It sets a very ominous tone. So it really plays on your preconceptions about what this style of comedy is really supposed to be. So, I would totally recommend it.
God, it was Blade Runner had a really great synth soundtrack.
That's Vangelis. God. Yeah. Ooh, that's Blade a hell of a soundtrack.
Yeah. It sticks with you. It's haunting. Yeah.
So, the final cut's the better one, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's all the footage, no...
narration.
No narration.
Which I think that's the biggest thing that people go to when they talk about the differences.
What do you mean narration?
So, there's an internal... It's like a detective movie. It's essentially, right? It's like a gumshoe detective movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They took it out?
Right, so in the theatrical version, well, I don't think it was part of like the original vision of the movie. In the theatrical version that was originally released, they had this audio track overlaid on top of it, which was Harrison Ford sort of narrating and giving you a bit more context, spelling things out for you, the things that are going on in the world, who he is and who these other characters are, he's doing. You'd like it until you heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, is it bad?
Well, because they tested it and people didn't like how much negative sound space there was. They didn't like the silence of the film. They wanted somebody to talk to them. So they literally, this was post-production. Everything's been done. The movie's like cut and ready to release.
Oh, Harrison Ford has moved on to other projects.
They
bring a phone call.
Yeah. They bring Harrison Ford back into the studio to record this. And you can tell from his own vocal delivery, he is not enjoying this at all. He does not want to do this. He's so blasé with all of the lines. He literally, like, if you were just like, you know, you thought you were done with this giant project, and then someone was just like, now read all of this dialogue. Here, this and they're just like, what? Why? And he's like, I didn't think, these were not the lines in my head when I was portraying this character in this scene. You're insulting my performance by making me read this dialogue.
It's a little bit insulting to the audience, especially moviegoers have gotten more savvy. Like, we can tolerate the sort of a negative sound space that you talked about before. Like,
we made a kid's film in WALL-E that doesn't have dialogue for 40 minutes, which is a kid's film.
Yeah.
Like, if a kid can get away with that, I think a fucking adult doesn't need to be told
how
a detective movie works.
And it takes you out of the general mood, the sort of, like, mystery and tension of what's going on in the world. It forces you to try to make inferences as to what's happening, which then allows the movie to subvert what you think is happening. And when you have a narrator there, you lose any sort of subversion of your expectations because he's just telling you.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and just in general, narration, I mean, I'm not saying narration's always bad and you can't have a narrator in a film or anything. Yeah, like Milo and Otis, it's great to have a narrator. Thank you. That movie would be weird if you didn't have a narrator.
That movie would be even weirder if the narrator didn't do all the voices.
Like, it's like, wait, they have puppies now? Do these dogs fuck?
But yeah. Anyway. I think that's the end.
Okay.
Sure enough.
Until next time.
So long.
Later.